Welcome to the Mental Breakdown. This is Dr. Bernie Wilkinson. And today's question is, well, not from a specific parent, but from many parents. Today's podcast is going to at least begin to address the question of why children ask why. Now, having worked with children and families for a very long time, one of the questions we often get asked is about why children ask so many questions. Now, for some, the fact that their children ask lots of questions is enjoyable, it's fun, it's something that they look forward to. But at the same time, there are often situations where children ask these repeated questions, and it becomes frustrating and overwhelming and challenging for parents, especially after they've had a long day at work. So this may be a podcast that's best suited for one of our longer podcasts where Dr. Richard and I can sit down and really work through some of these issues for you. But for today, the idea is just to go over the issue with some broad strokes to help you begin to understand some of these concepts. So why do children ask why? Well, part of it depends on their age. Many times, this question comes from parents of children who are just about the start of school age, so 4, 5, 6 years old. And during that stage of development, we call that Piaget's pre-operational stage. During that stage of development, children have been shifting from sensory motor. Sensory motor means that that's the first 2 years of life, and that's when everything that the child experiences in the world has to be done through their direct senses. So that's why little ones put everything in their mouth. That's why they taste everything. They hold everything. They want to touch everything because that's how they are learning about their world. Well, as they shift into the pre-operational stage, they begin to think a little bit more symbolic. They tend to understand that a picture can represent something real. And their imagination and intuition begins to grow. However, they are still very concrete. So it's very difficult for them to understand many of the phenomena in our world. So, Dad, why is the sky blue? Well, it's really difficult for kids to understand why the sky is blue, and it's difficult for them to understand that the color of the sky has to do with the ocean and the ozone and the way that light comes through the atmosphere. Those are all very abstract principles, and so when we try to explain those issues to our children, well, depending on their age, it's going to be something that they're going to really struggle with, and so they're probably going to ask again. Not because you didn't explain it adequately the first time. You may have done a perfectly good explanation, but it's perhaps because your perfectly good explanation was maybe more suited for a 12-year-old than it was your 6-year-old. Now, that of course leads to lots of other discussions about the differences in the way children think at different developmental stages. But for now, it's great to understand that as children work through these stages of cognitive development, as I mentioned earlier, they start with sensory motor, then they go to pre-operational, which is a very elementary and basic level of concept formation. The next stage is concrete operational, and that's from 7 to 11 years old. And again, they're still very much so concrete thinkers. So while they understand time and space and some of those kinds of things, they don't really see them as independent constructs and concepts, and so they are sort of stuck in this area where it has to be presented in a very concrete and direct way. It's not until pre-adolescence, 11 years old or older, that children begin to develop the ability to think in an abstract way, and we call that stage formal operations. So many of the reasons why children ask so many questions during those early childhood years is because they're still trying to make sense of the world that they see. They're still trying to make sense because they are developing some of these cognitive constructs. We call them schemas, trying to develop some of these schemas in their mind that, you know, this is the category or schema for dogs. This is the category or schema for cats. And they look for those characteristics that put one animal in one category and a different animal in another category. But then it becomes very challenging when children are exposed to animals that sort of fall in between. So needless to say, there's lots of questions why, simply because that's how they are processing and their brain is developing. Now, certainly another reason why children ask so many questions is simply because of a lack of experience. They just have not had the opportunity to experience the world yet, and so they're trying to make sense of it, and the only expert that they know is you. So they're going to ask you why this or why that or how many of this or why can't we do that or how come that happens? And they're going to ask those questions over and over again because you're the expert. That begins to change, and as you may have read in our book, that begins to change when children enter school, because now we have a new expert, and that new expert is the teacher. And the teacher begins to replace the parent as the expert. And so we have situations where once children get into first, second grade or so, they begin to shift from asking so many questions to the parent to asking many of those questions to their teacher. So if you're a teacher out there, you know that children ask lots of those kinds of questions to you as well. So with this sort of basic appreciation for why children ask so many questions, let's think about what we typically encourage parents to do about it, because it is frustrating at times, and it is challenging at times. The first thing that I always like to tell parents is that sometimes your kid's going to ask you questions and you just don't know the answer. And that's okay. It's okay to say, buddy, I'm not sure. I don't know why. Let's see if we can figure it out and jump on the internet with your child and Google why this or why that if you're not sure of the answer. Because what you're doing is you're allowing your child to understand that, you know, everybody doesn't know everything. And when we don't know something, this is a process that we can follow to figure it out or to learn. So saying I don't know, but encouraging your child to work with you to figure out the answer, that is a great way to teach your child the joys and the excitement of learning. Another thing that I encourage parents to do is to make sure that you don't do anything to discourage questioning. Asking questions is the foundation of learning. Asking questions is how new discoveries are made. Asking questions is crucial to progression and development and moving forward. So I would strongly encourage you to never do anything that runs the risk of discouraging your child from asking questions. We want them to ask questions. Now, we don't want them to ask questions at 9 o'clock at night when they're trying to go to bed, but we want them to ask questions. By the way, if that happens, if they're asking questions at 9 o'clock at night, instead of trying to sit down and answer them, or instead and thereby keeping them awake late at night, or instead of saying, no, you just need to go to bed, because he's still going to be thinking about it, maybe have a little notebook next to the bed and write down that question and say, you know what, that's a great question. Let's write it down and we'll talk about it for breakfast in the morning. The last thing is, sometimes children ask the same question repeatedly simply because they really didn't understand the first time. Even if they may have seemed as though they understood, they really didn't understand the first time you answered. So be patient, answer the question again, maybe rephrase it, maybe answer it in a different way. Sometimes the words we use, even though we feel as though they're very basic and very concrete, sometimes our kids still have a hard time putting it together. I've even encouraged parents to, when the case fits, draw pictures to illustrate what it is you're trying to convey to your child. That doesn't work with everything, of course, but it works with enough things that it can be a useful tool in the event that you are desperate to answer the child's question in a way that meets their needs. So, okay. Well, I hope that helps. Again, that's a very basic introductory primer to why children ask why, and perhaps we'll tackle that one in a little bit more detail in one of our more comprehensive podcasts in the future. So until then, I'm Dr. Bernie. Have a great week and forget to be afraid.